Let's go back to the book of Hebrews this morning, Hebrews chapter 11, and I'm also going to be going back to this tonight. This morning our subject is the life of faith. This evening we'll be talking about the faith of Noah. But our subject for this morning is the life of faith. We read in the scriptures of the faith of God's elect. We read that there is one Lord, one faith, one baptism. Here in the portion of scripture before us, we have the chapter that's best known as being the heroes of faith. This is indeed the faith chapter. What is the faith of God's elect? If one were to ask you to give a definition of faith, how would you answer? In fact, you might even answer in your own mind right now, what is faith? Well, of course, one writer many years ago said that using each of the letters of the word said it is forsaking all I trust Him. I trust Him. That is, I trust Christ Jesus. I forsake all hopes of salvation and works. Duties, law obedience, I forsake all of that. I forsake all the things that I think that I've done that are good. I have no hopes of any deliverance from sin in those things. I forsake them. I'm done with them. I turn my back on everything that I have done that I would think would recommend me to God. I forsake Him. I've got to do that. Faith involves that. And forsaking all of these things, I trust the Lord Jesus Christ. I trust Him. He's the only one in whom I have any confidence. I rejoice in Him. You know, as you get in the book of Philippians, the third chapter, here's what the Apostle Paul says. We are the circumcision. Literally, we are the people of God. We're those who are beloved of God. Well, who are you talking about, Paul? Can you set forth a description of these people? Number one, he said, we rejoice, or we worship God, he said, in spirit. We worship in spirit. It's not a fleshly thing, it's a heart thing. We come to God from our hearts. We're not making all kinds of outward motions or movements or that sort of thing. We come to God through Christ Jesus in our innermost being. Worship is a spiritual thing. So we worship God in spirit, that is, by the enablement of the Spirit of God. And then he says, we rejoice in Christ Jesus. We rejoice in who He is. We rejoice in His deity. We rejoice in His humanity. We rejoice that He has finished the work of reconciliation. He has redeemed His people. He's redeemed us from the very curse of the law by being made a curse for us. He redeemed us by His bloody sacrifice. He has established for us a righteousness that is approved by God. A righteousness that puts us in good standing with God. We rejoice in Christ Jesus. We rejoice as a result of His substitutionary work. We have the full forgiveness of all of our sins. All of our past sins, all of our present sins, all of our future sins. Because actually when the Lord Jesus died, All of our sins were in the future. And they were all paid for by His bloody death. All the debt that we owed. All the divine justice demanded of us, our Lord Jesus, who stood in our stead, who was crucified in our place, He, by His substitutionary death, He paid the fullness of our redemption. We are debt free. We owe nothing to the justice of God. There is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. We stand perfect in His obedience and in His righteousness, washed in the blood of the Lamb. And thirdly, we are the circumcision, we are the true people of God who worship God in spirit, we rejoice in Christ Jesus, and we have no confidence in the flesh. Because we have forsaken that. We have forsaken that. Listen, we forsook that in salvation, in the experience of salvation, in true faith. We turned our back on our own selves, on all of our works, on all of our obedience. And we understand that God has showed us grace only in the Lord Jesus Christ, and that before He ever made the world. And that God's dealings with us have always been through the Savior. And therefore His dealings with us are always on the basis of grace. Not merit, not works, but grace. And we don't have any confidence in the flesh. We've forsaken all. We trust Him. Just as you trust those pews that you're seated in to hold you up. You're not depending upon anything else. You sit down and you just have a confidence it's going to uphold your weight. Even so, we cast the very weight of our souls upon the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't reserve any weight for ourselves. We don't kind of lean a little bit on ourselves. As you sit there, you could lift up your feet off the floor. You have some of you real short. Your feet not going to reach floor anyhow. But you have absolute confidence that the pew is going to hold you up. And we're not seeking to add assistance to the Lord Jesus. We know He must save, and He must save Himself. The dilemma in which we find ourselves in is a dilemma of utter helplessness and inability and spiritual impotence. And if we are to be saved, it must be by the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. And by the grace of God, we trust Him. We trust Him for all things. All that a holy God demands, we look to the Lord Jesus Christ, who has made more than ample satisfaction to the justice of God for us. He did not barely save His people by His death upon the cross of Calvary. He has abundantly washed our sins away. A great flood of blood flowed from the Lord Jesus. That's His sacrifice. That's His death. And it has totally satisfied a holy God. Who can understand? Who can fathom the depths of the demands of a thrice holy God? You don't know, nor do I know, what all the fullness of that which God demands. But I'll tell you who does know. The Lord Jesus Christ. He knew exactly what God demanded. And He has rendered to the Father everything that His children need to make them safe, to make them righteous, to forgive them. Everything God demands, everything justice insists upon, our Lord Jesus Christ has rendered to the Father. and we're brought by grace to trust Him only. Is that definition of faith, does that fit you? Forsaking all. Preacher, doesn't my church attendance count for anything? Well, church attendance is important because I do believe the most vital thing about a believer's life is their public worship. But wait, we're not talking about now for acceptance with God. Oh, it is good to be here. And we're thankful that we have been brought by divine providence into the place of worship. But never imagine that you being here would make God or cause God to look upon you with favor and say, you know, they came to church, so I'll let them into my holy heaven someday. No, that'd be salvation by works. Never imagine that your baptism has made you acceptable with God. Is baptism a biblical ordinance? Indeed it is. Those who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ give evidence of that belief, of that faith, of having had a work of grace done in their hearts by confessing the Lord Jesus in believers' baptism. But it has nothing to do with your acceptance before God. Now, if you imagine that your baptism or your joining the church or your observance of the Lord's Supper or your Bible readings or your prayers, if you imagine that any of those things are significant so as to make you approved before God, my friend, you've got a salvation based on works. You've got a salvation based on religious deeds. We do give. We are baptized. We join the assembly of the saints of God. We do these things. We read. We pray. We give. We do all of these things, but not for acceptance with God. Forbid the thought. You see, to rely on anything you have done, are doing, or will ever do is to put you in competition with Jesus Christ and His sacrifice upon the cross of Calvary. That will not do. God will not stand for that. Salvation is by grace in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, here's a pretty good definition of faith then. Forsaking all, I trust Him. What is faith? It is a very firm persuasion and an expectation based upon the Word of God that the Lord will do everything He has promised to us through our Lord Jesus Christ. What does faith do? It receives. Faith is a receiver. It's a receiver. Faith is the needy hand that reaches out. Lord, save me. Faith is that exercise of a regenerated heart, of a new heart, that reaches out to God and says, oh God, spare me. Oh God, save me. Oh God, look upon me in mercy. Oh God, see my desperate condition and rescue me. I need to be rescued by omnipotent grace. Faith believes the Word of God. Faith embraces the record God has given to us. John says this in the book of 1 John. This is the record that God has given to us His Son. And life is in His Son. That's the record. And we believe the record that He's given of His Son. Do you believe the record? See, true faith does that. Faith is fully persuaded. of the accuracy, the validity, the truthfulness of the Word of God, that God saves, that God makes us righteous, that God forgives us, that God preserves forever every sinner who looks by faith to the Lord Jesus Christ. Faith receives the biblical evidence that everyone who casts themselves upon the Savior, God saves. Everyone. Not those who work, but those who believe. Those who believe. Now we know faith is a gift of God. For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Faith is a gift of grace. God gives us the gift, and we believe. Now I ask you this question, which comes first? Faith or grace? Well, the answer is grace. Grace always comes first. Grace precedes everything in this matter of salvation. We've been studying about Noah. We read in Genesis chapter 6, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Therefore, we read here in chapter 11 in verse 7, by faith Noah. The reason he was a man of faith, the reason he was a man who believed God, was because he was a man to whom God gave grace. And that grace was given to him, as I read at the very beginning of the service in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 9. God gave him grace before the world began. All who are the recipients of God's grace, though we only come to know about the grace of God in time by the revelation of the Spirit of God, yet all who have been given grace were given grace before the world was ever made. Grace started it all. Grace began it all. And we read in Zechariah that grace will end it all. Grace will have the glory. In the end, there will be shoutings of grace, grace, by the saints of God. No wonder then that in Ephesians chapter 1 we read that the Lord did all of these things for us to the praise of the glory of His, what? Grace. Grace started it all. Grace continues it all. Grace will finish it all. Grace from beginning to end. Therefore, all along the way of salvation, there's nothing in which we can boast. There's no part of salvation, no facet of salvation, where we can say, now there, that was me. The only thing that is of you and the only thing that is of me is our sinfulness. Regarding salvation, it is all of God. We believe the doctrine of Jonah. Salvation is of the Lord. We believe the doctrine of the psalmist who said, but the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. It's all of grace. And those of us who believe the gospel, who embrace the Lord Jesus Christ, who've reached out with empty hands, and our hands and our arms and our hearts, our minds have been filled with the grace of God, we have indeed believed Him. But that reaching out to the Lord is an evidence of His grace, the presence of His grace. In Acts chapter 13, I'll not ask you to turn there, but we find the Apostle Paul preaching in Antioch. He's preaching to the Jews. He spoke of God's promise to Israel to raise up a Savior, Jesus. He told them the sufferings of the Lord Jesus, of His death and of His resurrection and of His ascension. And He said to them, "Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins, and by him all that believe are justified from all things from which ye could not be justified by the law of Moses." And then the Jews left. The Gentiles said, "Would you preach that same message to us? We'd like to hear the same message." And so Paul preached to them. The Jews weren't happy about the Gentiles gathering after them. And they were envious because many Gentiles came to hear Paul preach. And they verbally spoke against the Apostle Paul and Barnabas. And they contradicted the gospel that they preached. And Paul and Barnabas were bold. The next Sabbath day, when the Jews vented their anger and that they were envious, they were envious because of the multitudes that were going to Paul and Barnabas and listening to them. They threatened the preachers. And Paul and Barnabas were bold and said, "Well, we'll preach to the Gentiles." And when the Gentiles heard that, they were glad. They were glad and they glorified the word of the Lord. And as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. Do you know who will believe this gospel? As many as were ordained to eternal life, that's who will believe this gospel. Because grace was given to them from the foundation of the world. But preacher, I don't know that grace was given to me before the foundation of the world. You're talking about before God ever made the world, right? Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Well, how am I to know if God gave me grace in Christ Jesus before the world began? How am I to know that He put me in that remnant according to the election of grace? How can I know? You know it in this way. You're brought to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, to forsake all, and just to trust Him. And you see, it is this faith that enables the children of God to bless the Lord for all that He has done, for all that He is doing, and all that He will do. Well, how important is faith? Well, it says in verse 6 of chapter 11 here that without faith, it's impossible to please God. That's how important faith. Don't tell me faith isn't important. Well, I don't think it matters whether I believe or not, because the purpose of God is going to come to pass. Well, you can be sure of that. The purpose of God is going to come to pass. It's going to come to pass whether you believe or don't believe. Your faith or your lack of faith will have no effect upon the purpose of God. Nothing affects the purpose of God. You understand that? Nothing can change the purpose of God. Nothing can hinder, nothing can frustrate that which God has purposed. And having said that, I'll repeat what I said before. The only way that you'll know grace is given to you before the world began is if you're brought to believe Christ Jesus. You believe Him. You see, faith, let me tell you some things faith does. Here's the life of faith. As we read the Word of God, as faith reads the Word of God, and that's you and me who've been given the gift of faith. As we read the Word of God and we read about the covenant of grace, We read about the purpose of God. Here's what faith does. It rejoices in the God of purpose. The God we worship, faith rejoices in this God because He's the God of everything. As one of the prophets said, He's the God of the hills and the valleys. He's the God of the big things and the little things. He's a God of everlasting salvation, and He's a God who provides for the fowls of the air. That's our God. He's the God of salvation, and faith looks to the eternity that is past, into the eternal counsel of God. Faith reads of the covenant of God. Faith reads of the purpose of God. And faith reads that there was a remnant according to the election of grace even before God made the world. And faith rejoices in that election because faith sees this. If God had not set His love upon me, if He had not given me grace in Christ Jesus before the world ever began, I wouldn't be a believer. Faith sees that. Faith rejoices in that. You see, faith receives the record of God. Faith doesn't deny the record of God. Faith never stands in opposition to what the Word of God says. Now, faith may confess, I can't understand this. I can't comprehend this. But faith, that faith which is of God, always bows to the authority of the Word of God. And faith looks back into the past eternity and says, I thank God He adopted me into His family. I thank God He chose me to be one of His people. Because knowing a little bit of my depravity, knowing a little bit of my inward rottenness and corruption, I would never, never, never have chosen to be a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, nor to cast all other hopes aside, forsaking everything else and cling to Him alone. If it wasn't for sovereign, saving, eternal grace, I'd have been a goner. Faith receives the record of what God did in the past. Faith has no argument with God. Faith doesn't rise up and say, well, that's not fair. Faith doesn't talk like that. Faith bows in submission. And faith says, thank you, Lord, for putting me among your people. That's what faith says. Faith sees and rejoices in that election of grace. Faith sees and rejoices that God blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Faith is not ashamed of the purpose of God in election. Faith is not ashamed to say, God chose me. God ordained me to eternal life. Oh, I'll bless His name forever. That's what faith says. Faith says, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for choosing me. I can only ascribe my salvation to the eternal purpose of God and say, Lord, this is something you did. And you left others alone. And you could have passed me by, but you didn't. Thank you. That's the attitude of faith. And then faith looks at the things that are done in time. Faith looks back at the incarnation of the Lord Jesus Christ and does so with amazement and yet bows to the authority of the Word of God. Faith says, yes, I believe. He who inhabited eternity joined Himself to our flesh. And He became that God-man. He stepped into time. Faith sees the life of obedience that Christ lived. Faith sees and believes the record that He did always those things that please God. Faith sees His purpose for coming and rejoices. Faith hears His name, Jesus! Why is His name Jesus? For He shall save His people from their sins. And faith gets excited. Faith rejoices. That's why He came. Oh, He's the perfect example, but He didn't come just to be an example. He didn't come to start a new religion. He didn't come to be a martyr. He came to save. He came to save His people from their sin. And He did it by His own death. And He did it voluntarily. He did it willingly. He said, no man takes my life from me. I have the power to lay it down. I have the power to take it again. These things, this commandment have I received from my Father. And after He had labored upon the cross of Calvary with all of the enemies of the souls of His people, after He had borne the wrath of God, after He had dealt a fatal blow to the evil one, after He had redeemed us from the curse of the law, after He had satisfied divine justice, He said, it's finished. And He bowed His head. And then He gave up the ghost. He gave it up because He had finished the work. And I know He finished the work to the Father's satisfaction because He raised Him from the dead. And then our Lord Jesus ascended back to heaven. And the Father said, sit here at my right hand till I make your foes your footstool. He reigns. You see, faith not only looks back to eternity and says, I believe the record that God gave of all that happened before the world began. I believe that covenant of grace. I believe God gave me to Christ Jesus for safekeeping. I believe He assumed full responsibility for me. And faith looks at the things that happen in time. Christ's coming, Christ's obedience, Christ's sufferings, Christ's death, Christ's resurrection. And faith says, that's my Savior right there. That's the one who redeemed me. That's what faith says. Faith beholds Him now in heaven as the mediator of His people, the Savior of His people. Faith sees Him alive forevermore. Faith sees Him seated and governing all things for the good of His people and to fulfill the Father's purpose. Yes, faith perceives the things that are being done right now. Faith bows to the inspiration of the Scriptures. Faith receives this book as being the very Word of God, the Word of truth. Faith sees that salvation is of the Lord. Faith never takes credit for salvation. You see, faith always recognizes this fact. I'm a gift to you from God. That's what faith is. Faith is a gift to you from God. Do you believe? Do you bow to the record of God's Word? Oh, preacher, I do. Christ is your all? He's your only hope? Yes. Faith is God's gift to you. Isn't it wonderful of Him to give you the gift of faith? To not leave you in unbelief, but to give you a confidence in Christ Jesus? Faith sees the work of the Holy Spirit in regenerating, guiding, teaching. You see, faith rejoices that the Lord crossed our paths with the gospel. Faith expresses thanksgiving for that preacher, for that Sunday school teacher, for that one who exposed you to the good news of Christ and Him crucified. Faith rejoices in the goodness of God through Christ. Faith sees the Lord orchestrating all things for the good of His people. And faith will even in times of difficulty, times of trial, times of testing, faith will say, this is from the hand of my Father, so it's good for me. Like David said in the Psalms, it is good for me that I have been afflicted. Good for me? That's what he said. It's good for me that I might be afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes, that I might learn thy word, that I might come to be more dependable upon my God, that I might go to him in my time of need. He's a ready, present help in time of need. Are you ever without a time of need? Is there ever a time in your life when you don't need him? Faith says, I need thee every hour, most gracious, precious Lord. Faith perceives providence always at work, bringing to pass that which God has predestinated. And I'll tell you something else faith sees. Faith sees that the things that have not yet happened that are recorded in the Word of God are going to happen exactly as God said. Faith sees the everlasting safety of the people of God. Faith sees that even death can't separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Faith sees and rejoices in this: the Lord is my shepherd. That's what faith says. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I shall not lack any good thing. That's the voice of faith. I shall not lack anything I need in life. And most certainly I shall not lack for anything that God demands throughout the ceaseless ages of eternity. Faith sees the soul someday caught up to be with Christ Jesus in death. This is what faith does. You mean, can I tell you what faith does? It always focuses on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what faith does. Faith keeps her eye upon Him. As faith looks through the Word of God, it's always looking for the Savior. As faith perceives the events and the happenings of life, faith always sees the hand of God in everything. In everything. Faith sees what the psalmist said in Psalm 37, that the righteous shall inherit the land. We shall inherit the land. Faith believes Psalm 75:10, while the wicked shall be cut off, the righteous shall be exalted. That's what faith believes. Proverbs 10:24, the fear of the wicked, it shall come upon them, but the desire of the righteous shall be granted. Faith embraces that. The desire of the righteous, it shall be granted. What is your desire? Well, I'll tell you what my desire is, and I'm one of the righteous. I tell you what my desire is. I want to be free from sin, the very presence of sin, and I want to be with Christ forever. Did not David say, I shall be satisfied when I awake in thy likeness? That's what faith wants. Faith always has a keen eye toward the Lord Jesus. And even when the eye of faith seems to grow dim, though I may not see Him very clearly, He always has His eye of grace on me. So it really isn't the strength of my faith that holds me or gives me joy. It's the mightiness of my Savior and the certainty of His grace. Because you see, faith sees the happy state, the happy everlasting state of the people of God. And as we look through, you can read through today, if you have an opportunity, to Hebrews chapter 11, all these people who believed God. I'll tell you something about them. They're just ordinary folks. They're just ordinary folks. There was nothing special about them. They were just brought by omnipotent grace to believe God. And if you believe God, the same grace that was effectual in their hearts is effectual in your heart to just believe Him. And we say, as did that one in the New Testament, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. Oh God, help me to believe You more fully. And may God grant faith to the faithless, because He has to give it. Well,